This is Munacha Talks, our regular podcast, where we take some of the complex issues around motherhood and untangle them. I'm Rivki Dweck.
And I'm Friday Zenga. Together, we set up Munacha, the charity for peri and postnatal issues that affect mothers and fathers too. In today's episode, we'll be talking about managing our time in the run-up to big events, alongside looking after ourselves during pregnancy or in the postnatal period with your baby, preserving your mental and emotional well-being when things get really busy.
We have chosen to discuss this topic because we are coming up to Pesach, where the juggle is real and can be really stressful, especially when your time revolves around a little one who may or may not have a schedule or tiredness during pregnancy. Although we hope this podcast is helpful in the run-up to Pesach, we hope what we discuss will help you in the run-up to any hectic period.
Today we are welcoming Candace Klotnick. Thank you so much for joining us. Could you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. So I am currently the service manager for the Specialist Perinatal Mental Health Service, which operates across north central London, so covering Barnet, Enfield, Haringey and Camden and Islington. In a previous life, I was also, or am also, an occupational therapist. And I worked clinically in the service before becoming the service manager.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. So I thought we could split today's topic into a few different things. And the first one is about managing time. Because managing time, when your time is not really yours, can be really, really difficult, especially when you have a list to get through. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on how we can manage our time in the run-up to something quite hectic and busy.
So I think it's good that you said lists, because I'm a firm believer in having things written down, especially if you're tired or your thinking isn't as clear as it usually is, because either you're tired from pregnancy, tired from being sleep deprived and up in the night feeding, etc., etc. So I think it's always good to make lists and plans, but also within that to have a little bit of adaptability if things don't go to plan or don't go according to the list, be able to say, okay, well, if I haven't managed the three things for today, one of them will go to tomorrow because baby was unsettled today, or I'm feeling extra tired today, and so on. So I think lists and those in preparation, whether it's for Pesach, as you say, or for something else, is really helpful. But I think there's lists and then there's other plans. So if you want to plan in terms of cleaning and keeping things realistic, that this is not a whole house spring clean, which is, I think, what we can sort of buy into, that actually this is just about the kitchen and other areas of the house where food may have been, and actually making things a bit more manageable for you as opposed to being consumed by having to do everything. So I think breaking down the lists is really important, whether it's food to cleaning to shopping to ordering in, etc. So I think those are things that I would, I mean, and I do for myself anyway, in terms of lists, because I think you can't remember everything. So that would be one thing that I would say is priority number one. And as soon as, or as late as you feel is good for you, to write those lists.
I guess also when you said about adaptability, I guess especially in the time of the perinatal or postnatal, like sort of compassion, to be compassionate there, mm-hmm. it might not be feasible to get through everything, and that is okay. Because I know that what we see is women holding themselves to really high standards, and sometimes mm-hmm. when they don't get through their list, they beat themselves up. Mm-hmm. So remembering that it's okay.
Yeah.
Have compassion. We're not Wonder Women. We can't do everything. I'm happy that you sort of spoke about that adaptability, because I think that's a real struggle that we see, that women just struggle to adapt. This is what they need to get done, and this is what needs to get done. And if they don't, then they're a failure.
Because it shouldn't come at the compromise of looking after your baby, or, you know, prioritizing if you needed to get a half an hour rest, because actually you can't pour from an empty cup, you know. So if you haven't prioritized the half an hour rest for yourself that would give you the energy to do that extra task on your list, then you're not good to anybody. So, and it might be that today actually baby's really cranky, or you're not feeling 100% and you only get through one of the three things on your list, but tomorrow is a really good day and you get through double. So I think it's about being flexible and adaptable, as you said, and just knowing that it swings in roundabouts, doesn't it? You know, there are good days, there are bad days, same in terms of your your mood, your physical health, but also your productivity and baby.
It's also about knowing, I think, that everyone approaches big events differently. Some people are last minutes and they don't want to be preparing for weeks and weeks and weeks in advance. That just stresses them out. And some people actually need to do everything, one thing a day until they get there. So I think it comes something that is a recurring theme. What we always talk about is don't look at what everyone else is doing. You focus on what's good for you, what's good for your family, what's good for your health, your mental health, for everything. And then work your list according to that, or work your plans out according to, you know, how you like to work. Just because everyone else is cleaning for Pesach doesn't mean you have to.
So coming back to that, so how do you sort of, you've got your lists, but then you also have to apply those lists to a certain amount of time. So let's say you have your day, your baby's up, whatever, and then she has, let's say, an hour where she sleeps at sort of between, I don't know, 11 and 12, let's say. How do you carve out those blocks of times and make sure that you're also looking after yourself whilst also getting through your what you want like to do?
I mean, so practically, it might just be that actually you plan for baby to have that nap in the buggy. If you know that baby naps in the buggy and you've got a whole lot of errands or things to drop off or bits to get for your shopping or cleaning, that you do that while baby's asleep in the buggy. And that way, if you're somebody who enjoys walking, which is a Ben we all know is beneficial for your own mental health, but baby sleeps, so you're killing two birds with one stone and doing your shopping. That's three things that you're accomplishing all at once. And sometimes that may not work. And I think it's okay that that doesn't work for you and that actually baby then needs to be put to sleep at home. I think it's also about outsourcing and accepting help in both those ways. So if it means that you know that baby doesn't take naps in the buggy or doesn't take naps in the car, and actually that's going to be more stressful for you, maybe it's about getting somebody to stay in while baby's at home and you can run out and do the things you need to do when baby naps. And I know not everybody's got that ability to get help or have a parent nearby. So I think it's about being a little bit creative and flexible with those naps if you have a predictable schedule.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Oh, I think that, I mean, I think that the other things I think to think about are wearing baby. So wearing baby in a sling, you know, if that's that's the way that baby can sleep easier and it means you get, again, two things done at the same time. It's about doing that simultaneously so that baby gets the benefit of being close to you, getting cuddles and sleeping, and you get to do a million and one things for as long as it lasts.
When my second was a baby and she was very attached to me, I had a house help from, she was from Etria, I think, and she taught me how to wear her on my back,
because yeah. Oh, yes.
The front is like quite difficult. Yeah. She helped me to wear her on my back, and I used to get on with my day.
It's really about knowing your limitations. So whether you're pregnant or if you have a baby, you know, being pregnant, you're on the other side of it, you don't feel great, you can't move, you can't do anything. It's really about just understanding your limitations and adapting your list of things to do to fit around the limitations that you have.
And if those limitations are around your mental health and feeling sort of trapped by needing to be indoors with the baby or by the baby's routine or by the baby needing to be on you if you're very early postnatal, which we know is often the case, and women do feel very trapped, stuck, like this is it forever kind of feeling, then it's about thinking, okay, well, if I can't do it myself, what else can I do? Have I got a parent? Have I got a close family friend? Can I order stuff in while baby's sleeping on you? Can you do an online shop for home delivery? And really thinking about bringing stuff to you if you can't go out and do it yourself. Yeah. 'Cause just because baby's on you or needing to sleep on you, or you're recovering from a C-section and you can't get out and drive and do and be as independent as you want to be, there's so much. We're living in a time now where there's so many other options for home delivery, whether it's a supermarket or your kosher shop or your butcher or anything. So there really is about just drawing on those resources or phoning people to find out, or if it's somebody else that can pick something up for you. I think people are very willing to support if they know specifically what you need. But that shouldn't be like a hindrance to getting stuff done if you, you know, if that's the way you want it to be. I think there's nothing wrong with it being that way, and there's nothing wrong with being the other way, about being completely independent and off on your own as soon as baby's born and doing it all. But I think it's about what's right for you at that point. If you feel like you can't, then bring in the extra help from external sources.
It's also really important to have an open conversation with your partner or your spouse about expectations as well. I think sometimes there can be, the men can get quite, you know, this needs to be done, this needs to be done, this needs to be done. And just having an open conversation and saying, look, I'm just not feeling right this year. How can we together make this a simpler year? And trying to get his help in that way. I think sometimes women don't actually verbalize what they're going through and how they're feeling. I know it's something that we do in Menucha. We often bring husbands in. It's not marriage therapy at all, mm-hmm. but it's sort of a psychoeducation for husbands mm-hmm. of where their wife is at. And very often it's that women are finding it very difficult to actually explain to their husband, this is where I am, and this is what I'm finding difficult, and this is where I need help. And I think just an open conversation yeah. with your husband is really, really important, because I think expectation can come from there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if your communication is good and your marriage is healthy, then you should be able to bring him on board and make it easier for both of you.
And explain to him what you need. Sometimes yeah. we expect them to understand.
Mind readers.
Mind readers. We expect them to know what we need and to know what he's supposed to offer. Newsflash, they don't. But I think just being really open with them, saying, I need help with X, Y, and Z. Can you take that? You know, on my list, there's three things. You take this top one and I'll do the other two. I think most of them would be very happy to go and do that for you.
And I don't know, there's part of me thinking that should be all year round. This shouldn't be Pesach specific. That should be you being able to articulate what your needs are as a partnership. You know, this is not just you running everything and holding the ship together. It's a partnership. It's a relationship. There's equal responsibilities. Yes, one might work, one might not. You both might work. You know, the dynamics and the sort of shared responsibilities might be in different kind of balances, but I think it's a partnership. It's 50-50. He's got needs, you've got needs, and I think it's important that those are constantly articulated. You know, same as if he had flu or you had flu and you were in bed, you know, somebody's got to pick up the slack somewhere. And you know, just because mental health difficulties are not visual and visible to everybody doesn't mean the struggle doesn't debilitate you just as much. Yeah. So it's about being able to clearly balance those, I think. And like you say, the communication is key. I mean, I also would add, though, I think we know that, you know, women who are suffering from any kind of perinatal mental health difficulties, often partner can also be suffering, yes. or husband can also be suffering. So I think it's, you know, thinking about that. And I think the only way those things come out is via communication, is via open, honest, you know, exposure, really, and being vulnerable. And I think there's no harm in that. And I think I'm not going to go into a whole relationship conversation, but I think, you know, it really being able to support each other with those needs is paramount. I just wanted to pick up on something you said earlier, just about, and I think we were talking about just sort of running your own race. And I think culturally, I think we can all buy into the external pressures when we see on Purim that suddenly all the shops have changed over for Pesach, and you suddenly think, oh my gosh, why, when there's still so long to go? And that's fine, but I think it takes a lot of inner strength to not buy into that and actually just switch off from all of the pressure and do what you need to do when you need to do it, which I think can be really challenging if you're somebody who's feeling low, who's feeling down, and that we all know that that's a very sort of downward spiral and it becomes very self-critical and all of that. So I think it takes a lot of strength, but if you can, switch off from it and do what you need to do when you need to do it.
Well, I think there's a list of, you've got your list. right? You've got this long list of things. Everybody's got similar things on their list, cooking, cleaning, whatever it is, buying new clothes for the kids because they've outgrown, because they just keep growing. But then you kind of got this big list. How do you decide, you know, you've got the list of five things and you know you've only got time to do two today. How do you prioritize which two are important? It's going to be they're important things are going to be different for each person. But how do you make that decision when looking at that list going, I know I can only do two, which do I choose?
I mean, I think it's about which is more urgent. So is it more urgent to put in an order with the butcher for your meat, or is it more urgent to find new clothes for the kids? I mean, I think it's about prioritizing at that point. I think it goes back to even further than that. You know, have you planned a menu? Because that's where you need to start, because you can't order your meat unless you've gone backwards and actually thought about, well, what am I going to cook? Have I got the recipes that I need? Which incidentally, I would say is you don't need a whole new recipe book just for Pesach to make a whole lot of new stuff. You know, keep it simple. Do what you normally do, but just adapt it for Pesach. If you have young kids and you know what they like to eat, why bring out a whole new Pesach recipe book? And you're going to make all this time and effort for making food that you don't even know everybody's going to eat. So I would say, keep it simple, plan a menu if you're hosting or not hosting, but plan a menu, plan food that you know everybody's going to eat, you know, that is quick and easy, you know all the ingredients, and make your lists from there. So that whether it's starting from there with a menu, a shopping list, a supermarket, a kosher shop, and then, okay, I'll place the meat order and I know when I'm collecting that. So you know roughly, and having a sort of calendar, you know roughly when you're collecting the meat, because you know roughly when you're changing your kitchen, and you can just build on things from that and bear in mind all the other restrictions about having enough for the whole of Chol HaMoed and after and before. I mean, nobody goes hungry, but I think it's about thinking about those other little things. But I would say it's about the timing. So if you feel that it's only 2 weeks before that you can start thinking about these things, I think the foundation is to start with working out how many meals you need to make, the menu, the food, and then building on those lists from there. I think the other, if you've got competing demands of needing to shop for clothes, and I mean, again, I'm someone who resorts to online just because I'm time poor. So it is about ordering those things in, getting them delivered, and then you return whatever you don't want to keep if you don't have the luxury of spending a morning wandering around the shops.
I guess also it could also feed into your self-care. It's sort of, my baby was up all night. She's now asleep for an hour. I have an hour. Maybe I just do my ordering today and I sit on the couch and do everything by the phone, and I don't pull out, you know, the kitchen cupboard and you know, clean the corners. I guess it could also be that could be also a different way of prioritizing you, how you are, and then what can I fit in today. And then again, not beating yourself up if you get to the end and you haven't done the extras, as long as you've done the basics.
I like the idea of looking at the calendar and seeing, you know, certain things have to be done by a certain time. I mean, you cannot. Some things have to be done by a certain time. There's just no getting away from it. You know, whether you're talking about Pesach or whether you're talking about another big event, there is a date. There is a date.
That's you.
You cannot have chometz after a certain time. There's a time, right?
And it's working backwards from there, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's just going backwards. Going what? Having a time?
That's your, like, calendars.
Yeah,
that's very good. I'm the total opposite.
She's the opposite. The
complete opposite. It's like the week before, I'll be like, hey, kind of like, what? And then I'll just do it all because the adrenaline's going and I get everything done.
But that's a classic example of, you know, people operate so differently. There's some people who've organized their Purim
for next year.
You know, and actually other people find that really overwhelming, really pressurizing, and really stressful. And it's about, that's why I think staying in your own lane and working out, right, that's not me, so I'm just going to switch off from all of that, and I'm going to do my stuff when I'm ready. And whether it's starting by pulling down your Pesach box with all your folders or whatever, however you organize your Pesach life, you know, then pulling that down and starting slowly, incrementally. I mean, because I think you can't organize it all in a day. Or maybe you can. Maybe that's you.
But it really is about not comparing yourselves to others. And it's something that we come back to so many times. It's knowing yourself. It's knowing what you can do. Never mind what your friend is doing. Never mind what your Instagram people are doing or your WhatsApp groups are doing. It's or you know, the friends that you meet at, you know, picking your kids up, or you meet in the shop, like mm-hmm. they're busy buying potato flour and you're buying normal flour because your kids still want biscuits.
Yeah. I guess it's also like actually just coming to Pesach and understanding that you prioritize and did your best. And even if everyone else in the park is wearing beautifully matching clothes and you did your last minute next shop, that's okay.
And who cares? Because who cares? Knows? Exactly. Who knows? If that's the way you operate, yeah. then that is fine for you.
Exactly.
You know, I think it's
we hold ourselves to high standards and it's just not necessary.
I think it's not even just us. It's culturally.
Yeah.
We're part of a culture where that is for everything. And I think as soon as we can let go of some of that, not only will we'll be helping ourselves, but if you're teaching your kids to do the same, that's also empowering. So being able to say, that's fine, this is the way we do it, and actually come back to enjoy Pesach after all, because ultimately you're going to get to Seder night and just want to collapse, which maybe is the case for most women, I think. But ultimately, you know, there needs to be some enjoyment, some sharing of what your kids have been working on so proudly at school, and an enjoyment for you as a mum and a wife, and you know, for the family. But it's hard, and I think there's no beating around the bush and getting around any of that. But I think, you know, also knowing roles and brokering the extra support. So if it's your husband or partner or somebody else that can do, say, the car and I don't know, the other bits that you can't, I think it's delegating, making sure that people know. And if you've got older kids, can they be brought in to do extra bits or support with baby, or look, be at home while you run out to do it? A, B, and C, without thinking that it's all you, it's all consuming, you know, because there is life before Pesach, there is life after Pesach. And I think remembering that in the grand scheme of things, this is 8 days. And if this year, because you've just had a baby, or because your mood might not be what it usually is, maybe things are simpler this time. And actually, that's also okay.
Yeah.
Next year will be different.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we all know that these things are very recoverable. We move on from having a new baby. We move on from difficulty. And it's not like this forever.
It's about flexibility as well. Not physically, but also mentally.
Mm.
Being within yourself, flexible. So you've got your priorities, and then you're flexible on those priorities. You know which ones you can drop and which ones you can't. It's like you're juggling balls, and there's only so many you can juggle. You're going to choose which one at which points you're going to drop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, because you just pick them up a few minutes later.
Mm-hmm. Compassionately. And because we talk about self-care on these podcasts all the time, it's about being compassionate to yourself. I'm doing my best. I can't do everything. I'm in a vulnerable space at the moment and a ball has dropped. But I'm going to be compassionate to myself and say it's okay. I'm doing my best. And it will look up after this, as in you'll be able to pick those, you know, and juggle again afterwards. Mm-hmm.
I think it's also about knowing that when you do see that person in the park with her perfectly dressed kids, you actually have no idea what's going on behind the scenes.
Yes, I was just going to say.
And yes, she looks like she had the most beautiful tablescape, or pulled off the most amazing event, or did the most amazing thing. But actually, you really don't want to be in her shoes. You don't know the other side of what's going on there.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's all great and it's lovely and it's beautiful.
But it's not for us to judge. And I think, you know, you don't know. But the same way is that could be you in a year's time.
Yeah.
But who would know a year before that where you'd been and the difficulty you had to overcome and the strength and the inner resilience that got you to this point. And I think there's far bigger life lessons. You know, I think we are. Unfortunately, we do focus on those things. There's too much social media. There's too much pressure. There's all these glossy magazines and, you know, showing us what we should be cooking, what we should be wearing, what our table should look like, and so on and
what
so forth.
What we should look like.
Yeah, everything. Absolutely everything. And it is. It's that pressure constant, which if you're vulnerable already,
it's hard.
It's too much.
Yeah, I thought about that before Purim, because when you got the magazines this year, I don't know, it turned into Christmas, really. The gifts for the teachers, the gifts for this. And I'm like, I just had to sort of say to myself, no, it's okay. You don't have to do this. Just do what you can. But that external pressure is huge. And I think there's always a conversation in the magazines about it. Is it necessary and is it not necessary?
Yet they still publish it all.
Yeah, they still publish it. Yeah. But it's, again, staying true to yourself mm-hmm. and what you can manage this year and being compassionate that it's okay if you don't manage to exceed all of, not exceed, but to reach all your mm-hmm. self-imposed expectations. Mm-hmm. And again, that the main thing is that you and your family are functioning.
So it's also about looking at what your kids' perspective exactly. of the whole situation is. Are your kids seeing a crazy, frazzled, overstressed, yelling mother
mm-hmm.
who's got everything perfect? Or are they seeing a calm mother who's got time for them, is not yelling at them for by mistake eating off the table? And what impression are your kids going to have of, you know, Pesach or of, you know, when you're busy? Are they going to remember the mother who was, you know, frazzled and shouting and too stressed to even look at them? Or are they going to remember that Pesach happened and everything was really nice and calm? I think that's also really important.
Mm, mm.
But that doesn't happen if you're not calm as a mother.
Correct.
So again, that prioritizing yourself, I think, is really, really important.
You want to be that calm mother that when the kids think of Pesach, they don't think of a crazy stressed mother and a stressful house and they, you know, had to eat in the garden and whatever. Not saying that any of those things are wrong, but
it is a busier time. It's a time when our kids are home and it's a time when there are a lot of, well, lists that do need to get,
mm-hmm.
even just the basics.
Mm-hmm. And it is stressful. Kids are running around with food when you're trying to clean. Yeah. It is stressful.
So how do you look after yourself during hectic time? And by the way, as we're talking, I'm thinking so much about how this also relates to like the end of pregnancy when you have to get yourself ready for the new baby.
Yeah.
And there's lists you have to get through mm-hmm. and like there's changes going on in the family. And you have to look after yourself. How do you look after yourself when there is so much to do?
I think everybody's got their own way of switching off and self-care. So whether that is exercise, for some people it's having their nails done, or everybody's got their own. So I think for me, that would be part of building that into your planning or your schedule, knowing what's negotiable, what's not negotiable. So for me, my early morning exercise is not negotiable, but I do that outside of everyone else's schedule so that I'm able to be present mm. for everybody else. But I also know if I don't do it, I struggle myself mm. and I can't give of myself. And I think it comes back to what we said at the beginning, you can't pour from an empty cup. So I think knowing what the non-negotiables are for you. So if it's for you, knowing that once you've done all the cleaning, you can book in to have your nails done if that's what you like, or I don't know, whatever it is that is self-care to you, whether it's meditation or other ways of looking after yourself, whatever it is, it's a building in, or seeing somebody that makes you feel good, or going for a walk with somebody that makes you feel good, you know, even if it sort of eats into what you know is time to sleep or time to clean, you know, doing those things will make you feel better and less resentful about having to be the one who's feeling a bit all over the place because you're doing everything and looking after a new baby and pregnant. So I think it's, you know, amidst all those lists, part of the planning is thinking about, okay, well, where can I fit these bits that are really important to me?
It should be on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, part of your daily list is something for yourself, even if it's as small as having a coffee with your chocolate, or
when you put the baby down, just sitting and having
2 minutes,
you know, having a drink on the couch for a minute, or flicking through your favorite magazine. Okay, at least 50 minutes, let's say, to do some stuff, but at least those 10 minutes you've just recharged a little bit. Oh, that, I love that idea of incorporating it into your list. I've never thought about that before. It's a great idea.
Because otherwise we just keep going and you keep going and then you wonder why
we burn out.
Yeah,
we forget about ourselves.
Very much so. And I think even especially around busier times, whether you're planning a simcha or whether it's around chagim and things like that, it's very easy to forget. But if you book those things in and plan those things that they're part of the lead up, those are booked in and not negotiable. So working backwards, like we said.
I wonder if it's also just recognizing within yourself when you are reaching a point of burnout. So perhaps you find yourself snapping at the kids a little bit too much one evening and you're like sort of being a little bit self-reflective and thinking, well, what did I do today or what could I do tomorrow that's different? But understanding also, and I guess this is all the time, is understanding where your limit is and where then cross over into a where you're feeling neglected.
And it might be that at those times when the kids are home, that actually you need to factor in addition to that. Okay, so now I know from this date to this date the kids are home. So actually on those 3 days, I'm going to plan a morning activity where I take them out and actually they get a good run around, whether it's park or something more structured, or somebody else does it for me. And that way you know what time you've got available to do it. So it's not like an unquantifiable schedule. You know that these are the days they're home, they're going to go to camp, or my mom's going to have them, or we're going to go to the park with friends. And that way they get a good run around and you feel like you've given them the freedom to do stuff without keeping them trapped indoors while you're sort of flustered and running between the oven and the fridge and everything and the cupboards. And I guess with other older kids, I think, you know, giving them a little bit of responsibility to support with that. So whether it is what they can manage, you know, whether it's a cupboard or whether it's an area, you know, whatever it is that they can take charge of, or I think every little bit kind of helps. But I guess knowing that, I think the planning, I think it comes down to the planning is really key. And however far backwards you need to work, you know, and like we said, knowing which bits are not negotiable, you know, ordering which needs to be done by certain points, those kind of things give you fixed kind of goals to work towards. But, you know, like you highlighted in the beginning, remaining flexible and adaptable when things don't go according to schedule and not being so hard on yourself if that does happen. And then actually, you know, thinking, okay, well, then that will happen tomorrow or in a couple of days, because it's not one of the sort of type one urgent things that actually have to be done by a certain time. And actually, I can do it tomorrow
or the day after.
I guess also learning a theme that we've spoken about all the way through here today is also learning to say no to others and no to yourself. It might be that, I don't know, your husband might say, can we have my sister and all her kids? And it'd be like, I'm sorry, I can't. I can't do that this year. Or it's about saying no to yourself. I really want to try a new menu this year, but no, actually, this is not the year for you to do that.
No. And maybe if it is, if you feel like you do actually having the company is going to be good for you, good for your family, then it's thinking about, okay, well, can my sister-in-law make a dish or two? You know, instead of us buying expensive gifts for each other that we don't need, can we actually just, you make a salad and a main dish and I'll make a salad and we can all be together and it's not pressure for either of us, really. So sharing that or buying bits in, simplifying things, bringing it back to basics.
Comes down to asking for the help. I think, like you said earlier, like people are very happy to help. You know, you've got the people who are running to the shops every 5 minutes. You message a friend, you know, next time you run out, can you get me some eggs? I'm sure she wouldn't mind. So maybe this is a reminder for all the friends out there. Ask your friends if they need help or if they need something, because I think on the whole, most people are very happy to help, to you know, go that, you know, extra mile to do things and be there to help and support. So, you know.
Which is a real blessing of our community. I think you don't realize that until you see people who don't have these a community around them and who don't have at the drop of a hat a meal rota for 3 weeks organized or whatever it is, or lifts or rotas for their kids. It really is. And I think it's not that we all need that now if we're struggling a little bit, but like you say, just having somebody or two somebodies that you could say, oh, please, I just can't get out of the house today for whatever reason. Baby won't let me put, and I just can't. Can you get me A, B, and C?
Let's not pretend we don't run to the shops 20 times in a day.
No.
So you can go for someone else.
I guess there would be some women who are really struggling and their brains seem chaotic. They'll be dealing with a lot of brain fog, and usually so. Again, it's about knowing your own normal. Brain fog, just not being able to think from A to B, just everything is just so overwhelming. For some, that, you know, that's quite normal if you've just had a baby. But if you don't feel like you can even get yourself up to a step where you can help yourself, then I guess that's what Munacha is for, to help you just talk through and be able to help you prioritize yourself whilst getting everything else done and helping you to figure out what help you might need that year. To help you get through it.
And I think, like you're saying, you know, getting the help that you need is the priority over Pesach lists and clothes shopping lists and other things. You know, those things can all happen on a much more scaled back level, and you will still be keeping your Pesach, but actually prioritizing your mental well-being. Nothing should be at the expense of that, and getting the help that you need. You know, these things are really challenging when they do happen to you, but the most important thing is they're very recoverable with, you know, support and help. And there's no shame in getting help. There's no shame in getting support. There are so many good services like Menucha and other services out there that can help you get through whatever your challenge is.
Yeah.
I'll just think back to the COVID years, you know, where you know, we were told, don't stress yourselves out, take it easy, relax, do the minimum.
We all got through it.
And Pesach happens.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
Yeah. You know, it can be done on that level. Thankfully, we don't have COVID anymore. But, you know,
it can be simple.
It can be. Yeah. I think that proves to everyone how simple life could be.
Yeah. If you want to carry on the conversation or find out more about what we do and how we can support you, get in touch with us. You can call us anonymously on 0300-222-5764. Or if you prefer to send us a message, you can email us at theoffice@menucha.info. We listen, we care, we're here, let's talk.